When his dad saw him, he nearly fainted, and his mom took 4 months to get over it. In 1982, Nick was born in Melbourne, Australia. But what was shocking to his parents was that he was born without any arms or legs. There was no medical explanation for it, and the doctors believed that he would grow up as a vegetable. As Nick was growing up, not only did he have to navigate life without limbs, he was constantly bullied by other kids in school. Additionally, Nick found that he had no meaning in life, no purpose. He wasn't sure if he was ever going to be independent, if he was ever going to get married. Life was so miserable for him. His suffering was about to break him. So at one point, he thought about ending it all at the age of 10. We all encounter suffering. Some of us to varying degrees, and if we're not suffering, we can be sure that we know someone else or the ones we love are. But how do we respond to suffering? What is the Christian way to respond to suffering in a way that can give us life instead of death? Nassim Taleb, a philosopher and economist, noted some interesting observations about how certain things respond to disorder and stress. He was looking more at economic systems, but this can be applied generally. He noted that there are three ways to deal with disorder and stress. The three are fragility, immobility, and anti-fragility. The first case is when something encounters stress, it breaks. For example, if you had a glass plate and it encountered stress, if I karate kicked it or something, then it would break. So we would say that this plate has the properties of fragility. The second instance is when something encounters stress, it does not break, but it remains the same. For example, if I try to karate kick that stone outside, it would not break for sure, but remain the same. We would call that giant stone having the properties of immobility. And when we look towards our gospel today, we find that we can apply these categories to the people in our gospel in response to suffering. They can experience fragility or immobility. When Peter follows Jesus after he is arrested and people confront him, how does he respond? When people question Peter if he's associated with Jesus, Peter flat out denies Jesus. Woman, I do not know him. I do not know what you're talking about. After the cock crows, he realizes that he's betrayed Jesus, and he went out and he wept bitterly. So how did Peter respond to suffering? With fragility. The threat of suffering broke him. Notice how one of the thieves responded to Jesus' suffering. He himself has just been crucified. He's experienced the excruciating pain of the cross. He's experiencing deep suffering. But how does his heart respond? Unlike the good thief, this other thief does not repent. His heart does not change. And he is ridiculing Jesus. His heart has become bitter. He responds with immobility. Yet Jesus reveals to us that there is a third way. A third way to respond to suffering that does not break us, yet that does not make us indifferent. Nassim Taleb talks about how an object can encounter stress, and when it does, it does not break, it does not remain the same, but rather it gets stronger. An example is the diamond formed under much pressure and heat. And so the diamond would be considered anti-fragile. See, when Jesus enters into our suffering, he took what was meaningless and destructive and united them with his cross to transform suffering and death into the means by which the whole world was to be saved. In other words, he took the poison and he turned it into the antidote. In the flogging where Jesus' skin was shorn to shreds, the crown of thorns piercing his scalp, the nails driven into his hands and feet, Jesus did not respond to his suffering with fragility. Neither did he respond with immobility, but rather it made him stronger. It made him anti-fragile. It made him victorious. St. Paul tells us Jesus was made obedient unto death on a cross. Yet God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name. Suffering is an evil, no doubt about it. And we all know that. Yet now suffering does not have the final word. In fact, as Christians, we see suffering paradoxically as a gift. When we suffer, we don't break or become bitter. We become stronger because we become united more closely with Jesus on the cross, who uses our suffering not only to bring about our salvation, but the salvation of other people as well. This is the hope we have as Christians. And through grace, the power of anti-fragility is open to us as well. Fortunately for Nick, he saw that the grief he would have caused his parents by ending it all would have caused so much grief for them that he didn't go through with it. His life was still difficult, and he was angry at God for his pain, and he blamed God. If you're the God of love, why did you make me this way? However, the turning point came at the age of 15 when he was reading the story of the blind man in John chapter 9. He read that the blind man was born that way, not because of the sin of his parents, but so that the works of God would be revealed through him. He says, I realized that God wasn't the one who gave me this pain, but what was intended for bad, God turned into good. His suffering almost broke him. It left him bitter, but now he saw it as a way to glorify God. Nick surrendered his life to Jesus because he knew Jesus had a plan for him. While he was at school speaking to his janitor, that conversation would change his life forever. The janitor said, Nick, you're going to be a speaker. And at the age of 17, he began to speak in front of just 6 students. But now, after speaking 2,600 times, meeting 12 presidents, and speaking at 7 congresses, Nick is sharing his story of transformation and hope, and how Jesus has transformed his life and gave him a joy even in his suffering. Nick has shown how he has used his suffering to make him stronger by glorifying God through his life. How will you respond to suffering? Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, and we wave these palms because it is an ancient sign of victory, a sign that Jesus has come and is victorious over suffering and death. Yet we too share in this victory when we unite our sufferings with his, when we offer our suffering bodies just like the bread is offered at Mass, so that we too can truly say with Jesus, this is my body given up for you. Then we will find that we respond to suffering not with fragility, nor with immobility, but with anti-fragility, transforming us to make us stronger, like the precious diamonds he has destined us to be.